And if you think about river in the Bible, and it's used metaphorically often for our spiritual relationship, it's in Psalm chapter 1, right? A believer is like a person planted by the water, by the river, who's never withers, their leaves are always green, and so on. It's referred to in Revelation, in heaven, the river that runs through heaven with trees on each side that produce fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all this wonderful stuff, the love chapter. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Ha. Think about that. The healing of the nations. To bring together people from all disparate cultures and ideologies, to bring them all in one. Amazing. What a picture. Ezekiel is a prophet who, when the people of Israel are taken off into captivity in Babylon, he's the prophet at that time to the captives in Babylon. That's the time of Daniel in the lion's den and all that stuff, right? And he's given this vision by the river of Babylon, and the vision is that there's a river that flows from the throne of God in the temple and flows east. And it gets deeper and deeper, and the angel in his vision takes him for a walk into the river, and it goes up to his knees, and it goes up to his waist, and it goes up to its neck. And the angel tells him, this river, everything it touches will become like new. Everything. It'll flow from here all the way to the Dead Sea. Liz and I swam in the Dead Sea when we were... last spring when we went to Egypt and Jordan and in Israel, and holy smokes, you cannot touch bottom. Well, you can touch bottom there, but go over your head and then try to do this in the water and get your feet to touch bottom. You can't. That's how salty it is. It's ridiculous. Your skin, and they tell the women, don't shave your legs before the day that we go to swim in the salt, because if you just shave your legs that day and then you go swimming, your legs are going to sting like crazy. That's how salt, it's just ridiculous. Don't let it get in your eyes. It just burns. There is nothing that lives in that water. Nothing. And yet Ezekiel's vision, and God says, even there, when that river of life hits the Dead Sea, and this is a metaphor, of course, this is a picture, right? It's a message that God is giving to the prophet. Everything will become new. Fish will be even in the Dead Sea. That's how fresh it will become. That's the kind of power that it has. The only way that that kind of love is going to accomplish something in community is if it's from the Holy Spirit. So that love, Scripture tells us, we are to lavish upon others. That life-giving love. How do you do that? How does that life, how does that river, how does that flow of love in and through us, out of us, keep us together? Joe offered an example of having restorative conversation. Because there are times when we say things or do things or feel things in community like this, and it might make us feel, you know, separated. And give us struggle in being with one another sometimes, or certain people, and so we keep distance and we do things. And we need opportunity to, I guess, try to bring healing and have whatever needs to happen. Dialogue, open conversation. So that's a really wonderful thing to do intentionally and purposefully. That love, though, it might sound like, well, that love is kind of amazing. It's like almost impossible to do. And we imagine that love is kind and gentle and wonderful, and it gives in all over the place. But think of the body. You know, we're all different parts, right? So if you're an eye and someone's got you doing the hearing, that's just dumb. You should do the seeing and leave the hearing up to the ear. And not sit there and bemoan that you're not hearing as well as the ear, because you're not an ear. Stop it. Be the eye. That was the whole purpose for writing this to these people, because they had this concept that we all had to be similar or like my, the same. There is a similarity, there is a sameness in terms of the love of Christ and how that works, but it functions in each of us very differently. And that means that there are personal boundaries. We don't do the job that someone else should be doing. Demanding things of some other part that that part cannot do, that's not love. An abusive partner, for instance, is an example of dysfunction, and sometimes separation helps those partners to regain their proper boundaries. I'd like to show you that. A few PowerPoint slides that I'd like to do here. We are in Genesis, it's not good that humans should be alone. I'll create a suitable helpmate. And that's just not maleness and femaleness. This is a testimony to the fact that human beings will have needs that they can't fill. If the gaps between your fingers, try to fill them, right? I've done this with some of you before. It's difficult. It's easier if we do that. And that's how we were created. And to have needs is a creation norm. That's not a result of sin. People walk around going, I don't need you. I don't need this. Horse hockey. Yes, you do. It's creational. That's how we were created. It's not a result of sin. And so we're supposed to do that for one another. So here's, the suitable helpmate, as it's said in Genesis, the words in Hebrew mean complementary, mirrored, opposite. So this is my attempt at showing you what a complementary mirrored opposite is. I'm sure that if there are some artists here, you could probably provide a much nicer rendering than this. But be that as it may, this is it. Okay, notice how there's a distinct boundary between the two. People think, oh, if you're loving, you should be this. The next slide, right? Just one line between the two. And we use this language like, oh, and the two shall become one, and that's how we should function together. Okay, so here, look at the next one here. What happens when you pull them apart? What happens when you separate? Okay, which part of this boundary line is you and which part is the other person? I have a sister who did youth ministry for 20-some years in this one church. She just dedicated to it, right? As we were talking with her, I noticed a bunch of stuff to her, and I said to her at one point, I said, you know, have you ever thought of just stopping this youth ministry stuff and letting someone else do it for a while? Oh, yeah, but, you know, nobody else can, blah, blah, blah. I said to her, you know, I love you, Diane. If you die, you really think the church is going to go to, you know, H in a handbasket? Serious? You're not indispensable. You are not indispensable, Diane. If you're not there to do it, someone else will pick up the slack. You're not actually that important. I mean, you're important as a child of God. You're important as my sister. But in terms of keeping the church together, really? You want to have that much power? And then I said to her, if you separate from this, if you go see a therapist, see a counselor, seriously. And she said, why? Oh, yeah, I don't need to. Trust me. The next year, she finally got it in her to quit. She did. She pulled away from the youth ministry. And then all of a sudden, she didn't know what her role was. What's my place? How do I feel about this? What? She had all these kinds of questions, and she ended up going to see a counselor. Best thing that ever happened. Best thing. Even in relationships, I've seen, you know, husband and wife, husband passes away, The wife is now a widow, separate, right? Separated. And I tell you, I never knew this woman had such a wicked sense of humor before. And coming out of a 60-some-year-old, you know, at the time it was 65 or whatever, wow. And she started to come into her own. And I, like, you know, when her husband was around, you didn't see all that with her, right? And all of a sudden, this whole woman began to blossom. And because it was reestablishing her boundary with that of her partner. That was healthy. Okay, let's do the next one. This is what happens when you no longer know what your boundary is. You're all discombobulated. That's what happens, and that's called being codependent. And you no longer know what your boundary is. You know, and that happens with partners too, especially when there's an abusive partner, and then they separate. And then what happens, how come that is that you hear about this often? She finally escapes from an abusive partner and ends up right back in another abusive relationship. Why is that? Like a moth to the flame. And because her identity becomes defined by the other person. I don't know what to do. What do you want to do? Well, whatever you want, that's what I want. Like, make up your mind. Be your own person. Say what it is you like and what you don't like. You have to have some strength and some backbone to be in a serious relationship. To be a serious, loving person in community requires some strength. You have to have the ability to stand on your own. Okay, so, and the last one, I think it's the last one, yeah. So that would be my picture of what we're meant to be. When the blood of Christ flows between us. And you have grace. That's important. And that son went through a difficult time, and actually we were on vacation, and he ended up breaking into a neighbor's house, and we came back, and it was, yeah, I didn't know whether to call the police on him or what. And I talked to my neighbor, and he wouldn't fess up, and so on. Finally, he did. Fessed up to what he was doing, and we arranged some stuff with the neighbor. He would have to pay back the booze that he stole and blah, blah, blah. Which he did. And I couldn't hardly talk to him. I was just, oh. I was so angry. And I went away and I was going through town, and I ended up in this store, and there was a bunch of dishes there on sale, and he was going to go to college in, you know, in the fall. And so I thought, well, he's going to need a dish set and some other stuff. And I was at a thrift store, and it was all there. And it was like God just, oh, here, he'll need this, here and here. I don't know. Maybe that's just me as dad. I don't know. Anyways, I got a bunch of stuff. Put it all in a box, right? Carried out to the van, put it in, went home. Well, actually stopped by the liquor control board, bought the kind of beer that he likes, got a couple small cigars, went home. He's in the front driveway. I told him to come on over. I opened up the van. I showed him. I said, you're going to need this in the fall. I pulled out a beer. I gave it to him. I said, this is for you. Gave him a cigar. We lit up. I said, we need to go back and chat. And we walked out back to the fire pit, and he was like me, crying. And he said to me, why are you being so nice? You should be angry. Why aren't you yelling and screaming? Oh, the Lord knows part of me wanted to. That grace melted him. We reestablished relationship because the blood of Christ was flowing between us, so to speak, right? I couldn't do the mad part like Ray says, you know. Well, that Sunday school lesson back there that says you should be loving was on me. Now, that's a grace part that restores relationship, but that's not the only thing that helps to maintain boundaries. Liz was at a workplace once, and I asked her permission. She gave me permission to share that. And there was a woman there who was just micromanaging everybody, everything. And I walked in once because Liz asked for some water, and I was bringing, case of bottled water in. And this person approached me and said, "You're not allowed in here." And I said, "Hey, I'm just bringing water in." She just nattered at me while I was going down the hallway. And there were some students listening, and they couldn't believe what was going on, how I was being treated. And I dropped off the water, and I said, "See you later." I didn't say anything to Liz. One of the students said something, and Liz had my back. I wouldn't call it she snapped, but she got mad and went out and addressed this woman and said, "How dare you?" And then she just drew a line in the sand. "You may not act like this, and you may not talk like..." And this is... And the students are all like, "Holy cow, Mrs. V's going off." Because Miss V is gentle and kind and graceful and caring. And they were like, "Holy cow." Day later, and she was like, she left early. She was going to quit, blah, blah, blah. Big boss called up and said, "Oh, please don't quit. God, no, this place needs you. You're..." Basically gave an ultimatum to this other lady. She ended up resigning, leaving. Conflict happened. There was serious struggle there. Boundaries is drawing a line in the sand, right? And you know what? That workplace after that ran way smoother. Way smoother. I think sometimes that happens in community too. Sometimes there needs to be some of this in order to clarify and make clear where those boundary lines are, where they fall, and how. And that helps us to be able to actually connect with one another much more effectively and much more efficiently, and that's important. You need to have that sense of self that can't be crossed. That's okay. That helps and enables healthy functioning with one another. We do that with children too. We say no to them. And good thing when they're in their twos and they start walking around and being mobile and going places. You don't want them walking out into traffic in the street, so you yank them back and you say no. I had a little kid in therapy years ago who said to me, "My mom and dad don't care about me. They don't give a rat's patootie about me." I said, "How do you know that?" And he said, "Because I once grabbed a rock when we were downtown and threw it at a jewelry store window. And I told my mom, 'I'm going to whip this rock right through that jewelry store window. Watch this.' And she let me do it. She didn't care." I was blown away. So what should she have done to care? How should she have cared for you? She should have given me a whack. She should have taken the rock out of my hand. She should have hauled me off. She should have been stronger, is what he was saying. Having those boundaries, being in relationship with one another, requires that. That's allowed. That's important. And if you don't think so, then think about God's relationship with us. Because when Adam and Eve ate the fruit in the garden and they listened to the serpent rather than to God, God clarified his boundaries with them pretty quick. No, not allowed. And of course, thereafter, God begins, especially when the law comes after Abraham, with the children of Israel, this whole nation with whom now God has to establish community and relationship, he had to create all kinds of boundaries about how you worship me, how you are to approach me, and so on and so forth. Amazing. And then God decided that those boundaries needed to be addressed another way. And he sent his son to reestablish connection between us. Amazing. That's crazy love. It is crazy. Sometimes it requires strength and conflict between us to clarify what our boundaries are. Sometimes it requires that grace, go out and have a cigar and a beer together. Sometimes it, I don't know what it will require, but there's one thing that I do know. It needs to be spirit-led. It needs to be something that's a love and an activity that is tuned in with the Spirit of our God, the Creator of the universe. And when it is, it will flow out of us like this river. And it will help to facilitate connection between each other. And it is complex. The more people, the more complex. And that's why, that's part of the reason why Joe and Jane and Rochelle are part of this group that want to help to try to facilitate as much conversation and dialogue between past members and even members that might be on the edge now who just kind of wonder sometimes about how they connect and where they talk. We need to dialogue. That's important. One beautiful thing about what we believe together is this. We know that the relationship between us and God was broken. That's a gimme. We know that he sent his son to prove that his love was powerful enough to transcend any boundaries that we might place between him and ourselves. And that he wants nothing more than to see us connected. Connected with this spirit being, God, Creator. Connected with one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples. If you love one another with that crazy love, may you find his love is more than enough to clarify the boundaries between yourself and the Creator of the universe, to clarify boundaries between yourselves and others with whom you may feel some estrangement or conflict, to clarify boundaries between yourselves and those you are already close to help give you a sense of who you are and what part you play within the body, or who you are and what part you play with your spouse, your partner, your kids, your parents, whatever. But to do so in a way that it is a river of peace that bears the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, and that grows leaves that provide healing for the nations. Would you join me in a prayer? Father in heaven, you are God, and we are not. This boundary is clear. And thank you for establishing that boundary. Thank you for transcending that. Thank you for sending Christ to be that life-giving, flowing blood and river between us. I pray that you would help us to be attentive to the leading of your Holy Spirit as we continue to connect with each other and the community around us, as we connect with the refugee community, as we connect with friends, relatives, even enemies, that your love may prevail, that your grace may better define us as your sons and daughters with power to love with your crazy love. In the name of Christ, amen.